in a world full of straight people. Aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
Hello, kings and queens and in-betweens, sinners, saints, and I don't know if I is or I ain't. Welcome to another life-affirming and honoring episode of Yash Jesus. I'm Daniel Franzese, and as always, I'm here with my honorary bestie.
Hey, it's Azariah Southworth.
And here at Yash Jesus, we believe
next Benedict's life was sacred.
And next deserved to live into whoever God made them to be. We're going to be talking about Next Benedict on today's program, but before that, we're going to get to the praise report and prayer request section of our show. Now, this is where, if you have a little something that you want to hallelujah about, if you're just walking down the street saying God is good and you want to tell us some information and you want us to celebrate with you, let us know and we will praise along with you. And in the same token, if you're carrying a little something heavy along with you, if something just feels a little too much to bear on your own, let us know. We'll add it to our prayer list and our Yash Jesus listeners will do the same. So we're going to start with a prayer request.
All right. Our prayer request comes to us from Carly. Carly says, I could use a prayer for healing of my injured foot. You hear that? Yes, Jesuits, got your prayer books out, writing, taking these notes. Well, Carly also says that Dale's Aunt Barb, twice removed, who lives with us, has been struggling with her memory, but it is not yet diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's. Been some good days and some bad for her. She's 84. So, yes, Jesuits, pray for Carly and her injured foot and Aunt Barb, who is struggling with memory.
Yes, we pray for patience and peace and a little more ease, I guess.
Ease
for the family.
Yeah.
Also, we have a praise report, and this one comes from inside the house. We have our producer, Lady Boss Meredith, over here. Meredith Polly, who jumped out of a plane and lived to tell the tale. Tell us a little about it.
Oh, my goodness. It was literally a leap of faith. You don't know what's going to happen. And you just have to come to terms with that and be grateful for living in that moment. And I could not look down when they pushed me out of the plane. I just looked up, up, up at the beautiful blue sky. And then you're looking down because you're plummeting towards the earth. But it was just a really powerful moment. And I am glad that I lived and have the memory now and the power behind it. Yay!
Do you feel like different, like before and after that kind of experience?
Oh, man. Honestly, I was a little detached from reality. I think that's the only way that I was going to be able to get out of the plane in the first place. But just the power of really letting go of control. I mean, leap of faith, there's no better way to describe it. You are just putting your life in the hands of God and asking for an amazing memory and a phenomenal experience. And that is just a really powerful feeling in itself.
Did you love the feeling of jumping out of the plane, or was that something that you did not enjoy?
It was fun. It goes by really fast, guys. I was only falling for maybe 30 seconds and then they pull the parachute and you're coasting. So you're on the ground. I mean, so fast, and you sit there thinking, did I really just do that? Because it was just over in a blink of an eye.
Do you get those like noshy feelings you would get like on a roller coaster, or is it like just, or are you like more smooth?
I was expecting that, and it wasn't as intense as a roller coaster, to be honest. Like roller coasters, you go off that first plummet and your stomach is just like this big pit, and I didn't have that. It was just really exhilaration the whole way.
Well, I'm happy for you that you got to like face your, I guess, challenge or fear and like do something like that and then have like that kind of outlook on the outcome. That's pretty dope.
It is. I went skydiving back in 2007. Mine was not a fun experience, but I did love the feeling of, I loved the feeling of jumping out of the plane. There was no...
You know what?
More freer
feeling.
I'm
a big dude, and they don't make things for me. Like the backpack don't fit right. You know what I'm saying? So like all the parachute and all that, I don't trust it.
Well, honey,
I disagree. The guy strapped my back was probably about your size, Danny.
No, like, I'm sorry. Everything's no, because I'm proportionate, but I'm a gigante monstro, and it's crazy.
We're gonna do it.
I'm never doing it.
We're doing it.
But we are moving on. We're gonna hallelujah for you, Meredith.
Hallelujah.
And we'll be right back after this with the scripture of the day.
My name is Miss Taylor Trash, and I'm the UK's only Southern Belle Anne, and I'm here with the wonderful Yes Jesus.
And we are back with our scripture of the day. It comes to us from 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 52. Look, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed.
That was beautiful, actually. I don't think I've ever read that before. May I read it again? I just want to read it. Yeah. Like, look, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Y'all, this episode is going to be much more serious. You've probably been hearing the news about Next Benedict, the 16-year-old Chalkot non-binary teenager who was killed in a fight in the girls' bathroom at their school.
Now, we know that there is probably late-breaking news as the days are continuing since Nex's death, and we won't be doing any reporting on the news of the ongoing case around Nex's murder. We want to save a little space on our podcast, on our little universe, to give honor and love and a godly peace to Nex and their family.
Now, our freaking deacon, Ross Murray, was in Tulsa working with local leaders and managing the response to Nex's murder. He agreed to talk to us about his experience. Thanks for coming on today, Ross.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say it's good to be with you, but too, this is, when I was in Tulsa, we kept wanting to say it's good to be with you, but then we'd say, like, it's a really terrible situation that we're with you. So talking about this is, it's really hard, but also I think this is really meaningful, and I'm glad that we're using the podcast too. Tell Nex's story in maybe kind of a different way.
Well, I know that there's a lot of different opposition. Like, you know, we have a lot of challengers right now as the LGBTQ community, and a lot of even politicians saying horrible things, and all of this coming to us at a vulnerable moment. But we really wanted you to speak on it because you were there and meeting with Nex's family and all of the people that are surrounding this and all of the thought leaders that were there. And we wanted to come from a place of LGBTQ leadership, but then also of spiritual leadership. We want to come from a place of love when thinking about this, because how do you find love in such a horrible event?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's really interesting. So my day job, I work for GLAAD. And so GLAAD had sent a team there. There were five of us that ended up going. And we did not end up speaking with the family. At least when we're recording now, the family has not wanted to talk to the media. They have not wanted to do press. They have put out a few statements, like, through their lawyer, and the people that know them have kind of gotten blessing for things that have happened. But, you know, we offered help. We kept telling people if they want to talk to us, we can have a conversation. We can figure out how to support them, how to best tell their story. And that got really interesting because, you know, you mentioned before that Nex was Choctaw descent. And one of the big things that was coming up from a lot of the indigenous groups was nobody wanted to get ahead of where the family was. So there was no, like, we're not going to speak to the family and call for this certain investigation, or we're going to call for this thing. They kind of would talk about it, but, like, we're not going to make any of that statement until the family says that that's what they want to do. Because part of the culture really was sort of like following the family's lead. And you know, I work for an advocacy.
That's so respectful and protective.
It is.
That's so respectful
and protective. And it's interesting because, you know, it's slow, it's deliberative in our world and culture and white supremacist world. And even, you know, in my job, things move really fast paced and we want to do things really quickly. And this was one of those instances where they said, like, no, we're going to wait and see what the family, you know, does and says and wants to do. And I expect maybe by the time people hear this, there probably will be movement on that, but that was always kind of one of those offers. So instead of talking to the family, we talked to kind of the movement leaders. There's a lot of LGBTQ organizations in Oklahoma, in Tulsa. I will admit this. I went to Tulsa about a year ago. It is a very cool city. While we were there, a few things happened. You know, we were having these very intense, serious conversations, setting up vigils, talking to students that were classmates, talking to a lot of the organizations. And some of the locals were like, we want you to experience some of the good things that happen in Tulsa too. So we went to a restaurant that was doing a drag race viewing party that was being organized by one of the local leaders. We got invited to this queer fashion show that was, someone said it felt like Brooklyn in the 80s and 90s. Like everybody there was dressed just like, wow, I was severely underdressed.
I truly believe the direct like antidote to queer hate is queer joy. So to like throw yourself into the community and immediately start experiencing those things is the best way to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Next. Mm-hmm. and give and actually like shine a light in that way. Now when you're there and you're talking to all of the leaders and the group leaders and the community people, what's the hot topic? Like what is like the main points that everyone's discussing?
Well, there were, at least in the immediate, when we were there, kind of where with the moment we were there, a few things happened. Like one, realizing there's a lot of different groups and organizations that are all coming at this from their own perspective too. And part of it was a little bit working out how these groups all work together. There was one group that wanted to kind of be a more like a memorial vigil for the local community and the friends and family that might know Next best. There was one that was in Tulsa that was much more like a rally call to action. We need to change this. There's recognizing both that there is anti-LGBTQ laws and rhetoric and hatred that really flow through the state. And our country has a very long history of persecution for Indigenous people as well. And so there was a conversation of this counts as a missing and murdered Indigenous relative, right? The MMIR. And so, you know, it's not just bullying. It's not just this rhetoric. It also is this same system, you know, that incarcerates or disappears people as well, and putting Next kind of in the midst of that. And so someone said to me, Next is not non-binary and Indigenous. Next is actually all of those things, and they're so interclosely related that you can't just separate them out and say this is one part of who they were and this is another part of who they were. The other interesting thing I'm going to say too is I'm using they a lot for Next. The pronoun usage was also all over the place. And of course, GLAAD is very careful about call people the name and the pronouns they want to be used. I believe Next was in the process of coming out and transitioning and becoming the person that they were gonna be. And so if you watch a video, there's a video where the police talk to Next's guardian, Sue, and Sue uses she pronouns all the time. At the vigil, a lot of the community members use they. And then at the vigil, some of the classmates of Next said, oh, Next used he, him with me too. So you had like all three that were kind of being used, which is, it's messy, but it also just demonstrates that, you know, Next was becoming and didn't have the opportunity to actually like live into that the person that they were going to be, that God made them to be.
And how important it is for us to create a space, a safe space for people like Next to be able to come into who they are and to be able to live long enough to state who they are. So that way we know. And you mentioned and brought up a little bit about like the hate that kind of flows through Oklahoma. We know and we have known for months now that is the Oklahoma educational superintendent. I don't care to remember his name right now, but we know that a lot of what he has done and perpetuated has created this unsafe environment for people like Next.
The thing that breaks my heart is that like school is an incubator. Yeah. It isn't the final destination of these children. Like, you know, there's going to be so many confusing times. It's a time of body change, of hormone growth, of complex adult emotions for the first time, of even just learning of each other's talents and abilities and what we might even be interested in. It's just such a young time. And it's so, I just remember having the most visibly popular childhood, like, you know, the mascot of my school and like doing, and, you know, and the drama club president and on like student leadership things and all these other things, but being so miserable on the inside. It just needs to be a place where kids could just breathe. But that's the part that's the saddest for me, like the message that it sends to other kids. And I think that celebrating next is the way, talking about next is life, and not making it be something that didn't have meaning, and using the meaning to pivot into bringing attention towards the mistreatment of indigenous people in the area, to bring attention to gender issues and sexuality issues, you know, because they're developing, they're just figuring it out. You know, and I think they need to be in a safe environment, and to have legislature and people on school boards that have interests that are vested in financial gain and not in childhood growth. It just doesn't seem like there's a place where that ends. And sometimes in that, I wonder, like, what is the best thing that somebody could do? Like, what could someone do, you know, in this situation?
Yeah, I think it was interesting. So besides the vigils, the other thing I got to participate in was an Owosso High School student walkout. We talked to some peers, some friends, the Equality Club. There is an Equality Club at the school. And because of the way the laws and the policies have changed in Oklahoma, it went from a full room to like four people. And, you know, faculty being scared to be associated with it, students being scared to be associated with it. But the students talked about bullying. And, you know, bullying, they said it has been a rampant problem at the school for years and years and years. And, you know, we know that bullying is a rampant problem all over this country, too. And we do campaigns and programs like Spirit Day to try to call attention to it. And recognizing that, you know, that there is this like power in young people for how do we start to make those safe places? And when we do, make sure that they stay safe too. I think you're right, Azariah, you mentioned, you know, political leaders, the state superintendent, his name's Ryan Walters. A lot of people are pinning like the culture and the blame on him for creating policies that have made spaces like this really unsafe. And so there is, you know, we need to fix and change things immediately at Owosso High School. We need to like stop these bills and this legislation that really is targeting transgender young people, non-binary young people, LGBTQ young people. And I think the hope is there are a lot of things that we can do. And I think we can take some solace in that too, that we can take an anti-bullying stance. We can take a political stance. We can even take a cultural stance to say, it's time that we start checking in with young people and make sure they feel like they have good, safe resources around them.
Yeah, we have an election coming up. So if you're listening, no matter where you're listening at, there's an election coming up here in the US. So be sure that you know who the right superintendent that's running for that position is and vote for the right one. If you know someone who should be running, encourage them to run, because we need fierce leaders right now in those positions.
And the most important position that is on the ballot this year for the election, people love to talk about who's running for president, it's school boards. I think, honestly, like, get past, the media will pay attention to the president.
Yeah, these unsafe environments, like, you know, in Oshawa High School is created because of people like the superintendent hiring the whatever her handle is, you know, it's astounding to me how this superintendent, you know, wants to claim the moral high ground and wants to claim this avid Christian morality. You know, it's a smokescreen, because at the end of the day, when no matter how much he wants to say he's a Christian and wants, you know, Christian values, you know, the number one Christian value is life and, you know, and justice and peace. But the fruits of his tree are not bearing that. And now there is a call for him to be removed. Do you know much about that? And, you know, who wants to get involved, how they can get involved
in
that?
I do know about that. Yeah. Today, the day we're recording this, like 350 organizations, you know, called for him to step down. And I want to be really clear. I did not know this before I got there. This is one of those states where this is an elected position. He can't be fired by the governor or by somebody else. This really is going to have to be like a recall and a petition of the people. I don't think he's up for re-election now for a few more years, but I think keeping that same pressure on is going to be incredibly important. And I think, you know, there's a lot of groups, including ours, that are calling for him to step down. Like you said, Azariah, the Bible verse we can use is, we will know them by their fruits. And now we have a student who has died, right, at the hands of other students in a school bathroom because they were being bullied. And so, you know, this if this is the action that you're trying to take, this is the result that you end up getting. And you can put out a lot of like thoughts and prayers kind of language, but at the end of the day, you put a lot of policies that really can encourage this kind of environment, encourage this kind of thing to happen. And so, yeah.
It just perpetuates more of it. I mean, I was bullied. I became a bully. Like, you know, it was middle school was just a tough time. It felt like like a little jail, yeah. You know, it was just rough.
I hated middle school.
Yeah, I think, you know, my niece is in there now. And I think as siblings of younger people, as gunkles and funts and parents out there and like just any like person in the village is caring for a young person, just check in with them, you know, make sure that they feel comfortable being who they are around you and let them know that that's a safe space. Because I think that's something that's so important.
And let your school know that you will not tolerate any ounce of bullying, and that if the school is not on top of it, that you will be on top of them.
There's a big push in Owosso High School to start showing up to all the school board meetings, to start making sure. And this, you know, the vigil organizer was a mom of a straight student that was just appalled at what happened and said, the time for mourning is now. And the time for action is going to be like tomorrow. So she said, like, we're going to get past this. And then I'm going to figure out what I can do as a mom, as a leader, as a, you know, concerned community member to be able to make change there locally. And I would love to see that happen, because I am also sure, as much as we are talking about next, there are probably other students whose names we don't know that have gone through something very similar as well.
Absolutely. Whose family didn't want the story to be out there for whatever reason. You know, I keep thinking about where I was when I heard about Matthew Shepard. And I was probably in the sixth or seventh grade, maybe, I can't remember. But I remember being on the school bus and hearing the reporting on the radio, the news every morning, and the progress of the story, you know, when it happened and then when he passed away, hearing about that on the news. And it reminds me a lot of Next. You know, they were only 16.
Yeah, I think of Matthew Shepard. I think of Brandon Tina. I think of Pulse. I think of these moments when LGBTQ people are reminded that we're not safe in every place that we go. And I think that's why, as you know, that's why you can't let them take your God out of the equation. You can't let them take your family and friends out of the equation. Like, you have to keep love in the conversation. Because as soon as we lower ourselves to hating back and fighting back, we've lost our minds. And when we lose our minds, you can't have a battle of wits with an unarmed person. We need to keep our wits about this as a group of people. We need to care for each other. We need to be safe spaces for our children, protect queer kids, and create an environment for our futures. Because we have to as lift Next up and keep their memory alive, but at the same time, we need things like this to be behind us. We need to be our siblings' deaths behind us, because we have to figure out a way to have a solidified future. And the only way that happens is from us living as love today.
You know, as time goes on, there's more stuff that's going to come out, more reporting, more, you know, as we're waiting for reports to come out right now, as we're recording this, it might be out by the time people hear it. It's funny you brought up Matthew Shepard, because this is a conversation we had internally. But before me, long time ago, someone at GLAAD was like helping the Shepard family in that immediate aftermath and gave us a warning and said, oh, there became a smear campaign that said he was here buying drugs. That was a drug deal. Like trying to come up with something to be like, the murder wasn't animus. It wasn't hate. It was something else that went wrong, and said that someone's going to try to do that to Next as well. And there will probably be more details coming about Next's life. Their friends love them. No one's family situation is perfect. Anyone can find, you know, a difficult family situation and blow that up. People can talk about what someone has done or said. And in the midst of it, no one deserves to die for any of this. And if we keep this back to Next should still be alive. I say this too, besides... the other piece that has come up too is that we've said that Next is Choctaw. Next wasn't formally enrolled in the Choctaw Nation. Next's mom was. And as I talked to local folks, they said it's an hour of paperwork to do. Like, it just hadn't happened yet, but it could have. And again, that's another becoming piece. they could grow up. They could sign the paperwork and send it off and become enrolled just as easily. And it's not about that, like, government recognition. It is about who they could grow up and become and be. And we got to see the beginning of that. And because of this act of violence, that was taken away. And we next doesn't get to live into and have a future of making good decisions and bad decisions and growing into being an adult and becoming that person that gets to look back on their high school years and say, like we did, and said, I hated that, but I'm really glad I got through it. Thank God I got through it. And I think that's another important way to keep honoring next, especially for our listeners that are somewhere else around your friends and family that are going to like throw up a, well, what if next made the first move, or what if it was something bad, or what if it was something related to something else? Like, this is all about a human life, a precious life that has been created by God. And if we really do honor life the way that we talk about it, then next should still be alive.
Yeah. And that's why we have to pay attention to more stuff like this than what's going on with whatever celebrity or what's going on with the amount of attention that LGBTQ people put towards the housewives or whatever pop star could be going to organizations that could help change stuff like this. Like, try to find some space in yourself to give back and do something to have a voice for the community to move things forward, because we need every single voice that is out there now, right?
Out of the bars and into the streets. You know, like, get involved with organizations like GLAAD, get involved with organizations like GLSEN, the Trevor Project, so many others. There are ways for us to push back and push back hard and to let people like that nasty superintendent know that.
And continue to speak of Matthew Shepard, of Tyler Clementi, of all these people who have been martyrs for our community in these horrible tragedies. And it's their memory that's going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And a praise report straight out, Ross, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for all the work that you put into this show and all that you do for us. And I'm so happy that just as LGBTQ people that we have you. And we're really grateful for you.
Thank you. It was an exhausting week. I'm tired now. I've been home for 2 days and just tired. And I probably have not fully processed everything that I've experienced. And I don't usually go into trauma situations like this, so I'm not.
And honestly, I'm grateful that you took that you answered our call to asking to talk about this on the air. You are someone that was there, and that we can trust, you know, to give us the real vibe of there. And as you tell people what they could do for their tithe, their offering this week, their act of good.
Yeah, I mean, your tithe, love offering, charity, act of good, you can donate to Nexus Family. There have been so many scams out there, but this one is legit, it's real. So Nexus Family has said that the excess funds are going to be donated to anti-bullying programs. So you can go to gofundme.com/f/dagny-benedict. We're going to include the link in our show notes, so don't you worry about that. You can get that link in our show notes, or just if you can't find it, DM us, we'll send it to you. But get involved, support these organizations, support this GoFundMe as you can.
And you may have followers, but if your followers are not actively engaging with each other, learning from each other, and vibing regularly, then you don't have a community. So reach out with us. We are your family. Please reach out to us. We just want to know who you are, and we want to feel your presence.
And that you're safe. And that you're good.
We want to spread love to queer Christian music and artists as well. So if you're a queer Christian musician and you want us to play one of your songs, send us an email to contact@yashjesuspod.com with a link where we can find MP3 files of your song if you want us to consider it. And we're going to close out with a prayer. Before that, we have some more drag queen prayers. Yash Jesus was at RuPaul's Drag Con in London. And while we were there, we got some holy prayers from some divine drag queens. And today, we're going to open up a prayer segment from the queen, Taylor Trash.
I pray that everybody takes a fucking rest and calms down. That's what I pray. Because everybody's driving me mad. Everybody's going insane at the moment. And always picking on one another. Now let's be nice and pray for each other and stick together like delicious glue that I love to sniff every day.
Thank you, Taylor Trash, for that beautiful prayer. And Ross, would you please close us out in our prayer of the day?
God, we pray for a community in grief. We pray for communities who are in grief, for the community in Owosso and Tulsa, for the LGBTQ community, for the non-binary community, for the Native community, the Choctaw community, for all those people that see themselves in NECS and see their loved one in NECS who might be scared or hurting right now. Give calm, give comfort, and give strength to stand up for one another and to speak out on behalf of love and justice, even when fighting and anger and hate seem to be winning the day. Remind us that your love is stronger than all the hate the world can dish out. And help us be agents of that love for one another and for a world that so desperately needs to hear it. We pray for NECS's family and friends, for those that are watching this story and every evolving detail, hoping and praying for some form of justice. And let that justice be good and right and restorative so that we can heal this broken world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray for the family and friends of NECS Benedict. The grief doesn't end at their death, but it continues with every ongoing new revelation, new statement, new investigation. They must be going through tremendous trauma. Please send healing power and love.
And God, we do need to stick together and stick up for one another. We pray for our community under attack by anti-LGBTQ forces. We pray that we can support each other and stand united as a community. And we pray for Carly's injured foot and for Dale's Aunt Barb with Alzheimer's. Bring healing, peace, and ease to the family. We ask all of this in the way of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you so much, Ross. Thank you, Meredith. Thank you, Azzy. And thank all of you for listening to another episode of Yash Jesus. You can find us on social media at Yash Jesus Pod or on our website at yashjesuspod.com. If you like the show, please support us with a small donation. We set up a Patreon account where you can become a supporter and you can make a one-time donation through our Buy Us a Coffee button. Both of those information to do both of those things are in the show notes and on our website at yashjesuspod.com. Now, if you ain't got no money, honey, don't worry about it. You can just leave us a review or share us with a friend. Those really help spread the Yash Jesus podcast to others who might need to hear us.
Yes, you can also leave us an audio prayer request or praise report on our website at yashjesuspod.com. We would love to have your voice and to share your prayers and your praise. So drop us a line or send us a recording on yesjesuspod.com.
Send us your praise reports, your prayer requests, episode ideas, your guest ideas, or even just a rest in power next. We would love to hear from you. Yash Jesus is hosted by me, Danny Franzese,
and Azariah Southworth. Music, sound, editing, and all things audio are done by Chris Heckman. Our show is produced by the ever-so-freaking deacon, Ross Murray, and lady boss, Meredith Pauly. Jumping out of planes, Meredith Pauly. Our sugar daddies are Nathaniel N., John H., and we want you to join them. So visit us at the Yash Jesus Patreon right now.
This episode is brought to you by World of Wonder, and we are streaming and screaming on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, God loves you just as you are.
So keep praising the Lord, y'all.